A very good evening to all, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. So, last week we studied about, you see, tongues. So, we saw that what is the meaning of tongues is not an unknown language, and we have clearly seen from the scriptures that it is an understandable language where others can really and clearly understand. And Apostle Paul, while speaking about tongues, he says, I would rather speak in understandable language 5 hours than speaking unknown language so that nobody can understand. Therefore, he sets a rule that if somebody has to speak tongues in the church, it has to be maximum 2 or 3, not more than that one. And moreover, somebody else should interpret what they are speaking. So, hence we see that what they are speaking today in the churches is not the scriptural one. It's purely not the work of the Holy Spirit. So, next, we are going to see today about miracles. What does the Bible say about miracles? Because today we see a lot of charismatic movement happening here and there in a lot of places where the blind see, the deaf hear, and the lame walking. And all the many diseased people are healed. So, is it the same way what Jesus did? You see, there are a lot of miracles happening, but in those miracles, if you observe and clearly see, there's not a particular person who is totally 100% healed without his disease. We see that the persons who are healed, you see, those persons who are deaf, they can hear not completely 100%, but partially. And those who are you see, blind, they can see only partially, but not 100%ly. And a lame also, they walk, but they don't walk as during the days of Jesus. So they walk, you see. Let us see what actually Jesus did. How was the miracles that Jesus did? So let us read John 9 chapter verse 1, 6 and 7. Can somebody read? Joel brother, can you read John 9 chapter verse 1, then 6 and 7.
John
9 chapter verses 1 and later on 6 and 7.
Okay.
Joy brother.
And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay.
Okay, and he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is my interpretation, sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Here you see, Jesus healed a blind person. And how was a blind person? If you see, he was a blind person from birth. You see, that means what? He did not have eyes at all. You see, he simply had the eye sockets there, but there was no eye at all. And later, what did Jesus do? Jesus took the clay, you see, and mixed it with his spittle. And you see, he completely covered his eyes. You see, the one who are born blind, usually they don't have these eye sockets. The eye sockets are empty. They don't have eyes at all. What did Jesus do? Put the clay inside, you see, and told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. As soon as he washed, you know what happened? Immediately, the eyes began to grow before everybody. And he came seeing. This is the miracle that Jesus did. Healing the born blind. Now, today, are such miracles happening? Are the born blind healed? You see? Next, see one more miracle what Jesus did in Matthew 12, chapter verse 10 and 13. Munna sister, can you read?
And behold, there was a man who had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might excuse him. 13. Then saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other.
See, here we see a man with a withered hand. Withered hand means what? It did not have the hand completely at all. See, those people will be having the hands only till here. The fingers will be here. You see, you can see in that photo is also not so clear. Okay? That is the withered hand. You see, and Jesus, as soon as he prayed, what does the scripture say? He says, you see, he told to stretch forth your hand. And as he stretched forth, what happened? That hand began to grow similarly as the other hand. That's what his case, the scripture says. And he stretched forth and it was restored whole like as the other. So one was short, other was lengthy. Now, as soon as Jesus prayed in front of everybody, you see, the hand began to grow. Now, does these type of miracles happen today? One more miracle what Jesus did in Luke 13, chapter 11 to 13. Who can read? Roman sister Amber, brother, are you comfortable reading? Is it possible for you to read? You can read. Or else we'll tell somebody to read.
I'll read, brother. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity, and he laid his hand on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God.
Here, if you see, a woman with a hatchback, she was in such a condition for 18 years, it seems. She could not stand erectly at all. But as soon as Jesus prayed, what happened? Immediately on the spot, she began to stand completely. But today, you see, when the miracles happen, the people tell that, oh, okay, I'm getting up. She will stand partially. But they won't be healed 100% at the end. They will say, okay, I'm okay. But again, if you see and go and meet them, that same problem will be there. They will be improved a little bit, not 100% as it was during the days of Jesus. And one more miracle, we all know, we are quite familiar with this one. A woman had a blood flow, you see, continuously for how many years? 12 years. You see, let us read that one. What happened? Matthew 9 chapter verses 20 to 22. Matthew 9 chapter verses 20 to 22. Roshni sister, come on, brother. Can you read? Is it possible for you to read?
Yes, brother.
Thank you, sister. Matthew 9, chapter 22.
And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from the hours.
You see, the woman was having an issue of blood for 12 years. She only touched the hem of the Jesus cloth. What happened? Immediately on the spot, she was healed and she could feel it. You see? And the woman was made whole from that very hour. You see? Now, do we find such miracles happening on the spot? You see? 100% healed? We need to think. One more incident where the The 10 lepers came in search for Jesus. They cried, Lord, have mercy. O son of David, have mercy on us. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, go and show to the, you see, the high priest. And as they were going, what happened? Their leprosy was totally healed. Let us read Luke 17, chapter 12 to 14. Gopal, brother, can you read? Luke 17, chapter 12 to 14, brother.
And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed.
When were they healed? On the spot, you see, they left Jesus and they were just moving. What happened? On the spot, as they went, they were cleansed, means what? As they were walking, you see, they could see that the leprosy disappearing. You see, leprosy, if it comes, means what happens? The body totally gets deformed. The nose will be eaten. You see, the ears will be eaten. It won't be, you see, as normal. Your fingers will be so totally like this one. But as soon as Jesus prayed and he told them to go to the show and high priest, on the way, what happened? You see, the fingers that were withered, you see, that were eaten up by leprosy, it began to grow. You see, the skin began to get fresh. Dear brethren, these things happened before everybody on the spot there itself. You see, and we all know the incident about Malchus. You see, he was the one who came to arrest Jesus. And Peter took the sword and smote him. So what happened immediately? You see, his ears was chopped off. You see, and what did Jesus do? Jesus took that ear and immediately on the spot, you see, he healed and stick that ear back to Malchus. Imagine which surgeon in the world can do such an operation on the spot without any anesthesia, without any medicines, you see, and cure such a way in seconds. Dear brethren, this is the miracle that Jesus did. You see, can we see such miracles happening today? No. You see, immediately if you take any person who is met with accident to the, you see, evangelist or you see a Pentecost church, immediately they will tell, oh, rush him to the hospital. If the same thing would have happened in Jesus' days, Jesus would have healed on the spot. This is the miracle that Jesus did, dear brethren. Just imagine, no stitches, no gum, nothing. On the spot, everything. Malchus did not feel any pain at all. This is the miracle. And how did Jesus heal the dumb, you see, and the deaf, you see, he put his finger in his mouth. What happened? The deaf began to speak. How did they speak? Did they speak partially? I am able to speak. Oh, okay. They did not speak like that. Clearly, clear cut, you see, the speech was very clear. That is the way Jesus healed. You can read that one in Mark 7, chapter 32 to 35. You can note it down. You see, and what happened? He touched his tongue and looking into heaven, he signed and said unto him, Epaphta, that is, be opened. And straight away, his ears were opened and the string of his tongue was loosed. And he spoke plain. Underline it, dear brethren. He spoke very clearly, it seems. He did not speak like a small child, partially. Okay, no. He spoke very clearly. Everybody was shocked whether he was dumb or not. In such a way, he spoke, dear brethren. You see, but today, you see, lot of miracles happen. But does it happen like this one? You see, does it 100% cure is there? No. You see, there will be improvement, light improvement, but not 100%. You see, cure, no 100% remedy. And moreover, you see, the crowd will be so much, that will be thousands, lakhs of people will be gathering there. But will all be healed? No, not all will be healed. No, only few people will be healed. You see, isn't it? Oh, not all the people will be healed. When we ask why not all the people are healed, what is the reply they give? They tell, no, they don't have faith. That is the reason they are not healed. Only those who have faith, only those will be healed. Now, Jesus, did he heal only those who had faith on him? You see? No. Once, there was a man, you see, his child was demon-possessed. And he came to Jesus, Lord, have mercy on my son, please. What did Jesus say? If you believe it will happen. The father could not believe it, but he said, Lord, I want to believe it, but I'm not able to do it, Lord. Now, what did Jesus say at that time? Did Jesus say, no, go. First, increase your faith. Next meeting you come, I'll again come. Then we will heal you. No. Jesus, you see, to increase his faith, healed on the spot. Read Mark 9, chapter 23 and 24. Joel, brother, can you read Mark 9, chapter 23 and 24?
Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief.
You see, help thou my unbelief. That Jesus helped him. He never said, come again next time. No, dear brother, that is the way. You see, why don't you pray for your faith? You see, you're a prophet, you know everything, no? So when you know that the people are coming, so many people don't have faith, why don't you give a speech to increase their faith? And once the faith has increased, we can do the miracles, no? You see? And moreover, imagine to such big meetings, so much of gathering people, will they come without faith? They travel so many kilometers. They bring the ailing son, parents, children. Why? Faith. If I go, it will be healed. That is faith. What is Jesus? How much faith you should be having? It should be only like small, like a mustard seed. Not very big, like a mountain. Brethren, this small faith, if you have, that is sufficient, dear brethren. But simply, people will tell they don't have faith. Without faith, will they stay till night, sitting on the ground without food? That is faith, dear brethren. And moreover, how many persons did Jesus heal? Jesus has had meetings, but how many people did Jesus heal? Let us see, what does the Bible say? Matthew 4 chapter 23 to 24. Munna sister, can you read Matthew 4 chapter 23 to 24?
And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people.
Underline. Healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease, not some. Even cancer patient, if you go to Jesus, you will be healed. Even a deadly disease, you see, all diseases are healed. But today, all things are healed. Where all things will be healed? Only 10% will be healed. That too, partially, not 100%. Then sister, continue.
And Jesus and his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torment, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them.
See, they brought unto him all the sick. Entire sick people of the city were at the doorstep of Jesus, and Jesus healed everybody. Not only few. He did not call from the crowd, oh, I know this person has come from very far. Please come. God has called you. No, Jesus said, stand in the queue. Everybody, please come. You see? Read Matthew 8:16. Matthew 8:16. Rome sister or Amar brother? Can you read Matthew 8:16?
Okay, when the even was come, they thought unto him many that were passed with devils, and he cast out the spirit with his word and healed all the were sick.
They healed all that were sick. You see, that is the miracles that Jesus did. Everybody were healed, brethren. You see, let us read Mark 1st chapter 32 to 34. So Jesus spent the entire night healing everybody. Mark 1st chapter 32 to 34. Rosie sister, can you read?
Okay, brother. And at even when the sun did set, they brought up to him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of diverse disease, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him.
You see, entire city, he healed everybody. Therefore, the miracles of Jesus were there. You see, but today, there are a lot of big meetings happening. But only lots of people come, lot of offerings are collected, but it is called as fasting and prayer. You see, nobody gives food for the poor. You see, they would have traveled so much of distance with hunger. They would be waiting to seek the blessings of the Lord. You see, they would tell that simply it is fasting and prayer. But what did Jesus do? Jesus also organized meetings, but it was feasting and prayer. He fed the 4,000 people, he fed the 5,000 people. That is the difference between Jesus's, meetings and other meetings. So, there's a lot of difference here, brethren, from the miracles which happened during, the days of Jesus and what miracles are happening today. So, if he, many people tell that, no, brother, Jesus said that those who believe on me will do greater miracles than me. Let us read John 14, chapter 12th verse. Kamal brother, you're there? Kamal brother? Okay. Romy sister, can you read John 14, 12?
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my father's.
What did Jesus say? Jesus said, he that believes on me shall do greater works than me. Now, which is the greatest miracle that Jesus ever did? You see, if you say it is raising of the dead, Jesus raised three persons back to life. Lazarus, you see, and a widow's son, you see, and one more girl. So, three miracles what Jesus did about rising from the dead, that is the greatest of all the miracles. Now, you can tell me, can somebody do any greater miracle than what Jesus did, than raising somebody from the dead? You see, yes, there is one miracle that Jesus did not do. And that is the greatest miracle which Jesus has told all the disciples to do. You know, which is that one? So Jesus healed everybody. Jesus gave eyes to the blind. You see, ears to the deaf. You see, and the mouth to the dumb. You see, and a life to the dead. But did Jesus ever open somebody's eyes of understanding? Did Jesus ever open somebody's ears of understanding? No. No. Jesus said, he that has ears, let him hear. He that has eyes, let him see. Jesus never opened anybody's eyes or ears of understanding. Spiritually, so they may understand the word of God. And this is the greatest miracle which Jesus did not do during his days. But he has appointed his disciples to do it. Therefore, he said, go and preach to the ends of the world. You see, and make disciples, not convert. Make disciples of Jesus. You see, dear brethren, this is the greatest miracle which our disciples has to do. Let us read, you see, Ephesians 1:18. See, Jesus never opened somebody's eyes of understanding, but the apostles did. Ephesians 1:18. Ephesians 1:18. Munna sister, can you read?
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. You see, did Jesus enlighten anybody's eyes of understanding? No. Everybody were blinded. Jesus clearly said, you are of your father, the devil. How many persons' ears were opened when Jesus spoke? Jesus said, blessed are your eyes, but they see, for your ears they hear. But unto them, it is not given. So this miracle, what Jesus did, you see, was appointed to the disciples. Read Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11. Rose sister, can you read Romans 8:11?
Okay, brother. But if the spirit of him that raised of Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you.
You see? Jesus raised the literal dead back to life. But here, more than that one, it is rising spiritually back to life. The whole world is dead to in the sight of God. But after accepting Christ, walking in his path, and trying to live day-to-day life in his path, this is the greatest miracle that is appointed to the disciples to do. This miracle has to be done. How many people do this miracle, you tell me? You see, bring them from false to the truth and tell them to walk and guide them and motivate them and encourage them to walk and be like Christ. What did Apostle Paul say? I labor, you see, in such a way, as a woman travaileth in pain, so that Christ may be formed in you. That was the pain and the burden which Apostle Paul had. This is the miracle. Read Matthew 26:18. Matthew 26:18. Romy sister, can you read Matthew 26:18? Okay, Joel brother, can you read Matthew 26:18?
Matthew or Acts, brother?
Oh, sorry, Acts 26:18. Please forgive.
Okay. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.
See, clearly it says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. And from power of Satan unto God. This is the miracle which is given to the disciples to do. This has to be done, you see. And let us see the life of Jesus. See, Jesus was the one who did miracles for the entire city. Everybody he healed. You see, God heard his prayer every time. But what did he pray in Garden of Gethsemane? Father, if it be thy will, you see, let this cup pass away from me. Yet not my will, but let thine will be done. Read Matthew 26:39. Munna sister, can you read Matthew 26:39?
And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will.
Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. Did Jesus pray selfishly for himself? Ever did he pray? Lord Abdran, you see, and what did Apostle Paul do? Apostle Paul was so powerful, he was so filled with Holy Spirit, that if his handkerchief was placed on a sick person, he would be totally healed. It's given in Acts 19, chapter 11 to 12. He had so much of power in his kerchief, in his cloths. Then imagine Apostle Paul, how great he should be. Let us read Acts 19, chapter 11 and 12. Roman sister, you're there? Or Amar brother, you're there? Acts 19, 11 and 12, can you read? Okay, Gopal brother, can you read?
Acts 19, verse
11 and
12.
12.
And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them.
You see? So everybody was healed. Evil spirits went out from great miracles God did through Apostle Paul. Then Apostle Paul, how much powerful he should be. Then he should be having no disease at all. No? But read what Apostle Paul says about himself. 2 Corinthians 12 chapter 7 to 10. Joel brother, can you read? 2 Corinthians 12 chapter 7 to 10.
And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a throne in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me.
See? What was there, it seems, sir? There was a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan in his flesh to buffet him, it seems. The man was so powerful, who could heal everybody of all the disease, but he himself had a thorn, that was the Satan in his flesh, it seems, to buffet him, to provoke him. Next, continue with her.
Lest I should be exalted above measure, for these things I bought the Lord thrice, that I might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee.
See? Continue.
For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me.
See?
Therefore,
what does he say? Apostle Paul prayed to the Lord, so that God may take away this infirmity, this thorn from his flesh. How many times? Three times, it seems. You see? And three times he did not receive reply at all, it seems. That means his prayer was not answered. You see? But what was the reply that came from God? He said, in your weakness, you see, my strength is made perfect. My grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, my strength is made perfect. That was the reply from God, Abraham. They did not, they did not shout and cry to the Lord for healings and miracles, dear Abraham. If it was God's will, definitely God would protect them. See the sufferings of Apostle Paul. What did he say in the last? I rather rejoice in the infirmities and sufferings, that the grace of God may rest upon me, it seems. That was the reaction of Apostle. That is the same reaction should each and every Christian should have today. Not immediately go to the Lord and cry, oh Lord, please help me. Lord would definitely help us. He would never leave us. See the experiences of Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians, brother. 11 chapter 24 to 25. Munna sister, can you read? 2 Corinthians 11 chapter 24 to 25.
Of the Jews, five times receive I 40 stripes, save one.
One by one, we'll see. See, five times he was beaten, 40 stripes, one less, it seems. 39 stripes he was beaten. How many times? Five times by Jewish people. Then next chapter, huh?
Thrice was I beaten with rod, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep.
See, three times they were beaten him with a rod, it seems. If you go to the police station, how they will eat you? Have you anybody experienced a police latte? If you take one latte, means that's all, your bones will be broke inside. Three times he was beaten with rod. And once he was beaten with the stone such a way that the person thought that he is dead and left him. You see? But Apostle Paul came and did the Lord's work. You see? And the ship in which he was going, it was shipwrecked. How many times? Three times, dear brethren. Imagine, if we have the same experience in our life, will we still believe in Jesus? If the government people, if the police people will come to our house and if they hit us three times, what will we do? Fourth time, we won't turn this head at all. We will just walk away. We'll pretend as if we don't know any brothers and sisters. We're not even Christian at all. But Apostle Paul, you see, how many times he was beaten. Everybody stoned him, thought that he's dead. The ship he was going, what happened? It was a shipwreck. How many times? Three times. Imagine if you're going for the Lord's work, something happened, means what will you think? Oh, it is a bad omen. Oh, God is guiding us not to go. We'll immediately return. Apostle Paul was not like that. Shipwrecked. And he spent a day and the night in the midst of the sea. Read that verse again. A day and night, I spent in the deep. Read that verse again.
Thrice was I beaten with the rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep.
Really? Night and day I have been in the deep. Have you gone to the beach? Does Nepal have any beach? Seashore is there in Nepal?
No.
No. So you never experience beach. You come to India. Lot of beaches are there. You know how the waves will come? Rushing. As the sun keeps on setting, the waves increase. You see, the police won't allow you to stay in the beach at all. Imagine, to stay in the beach itself is not so easy. You see, to the gushing sound itself, your heart will start beating very rapidly. But Apostle Paul spent a day and night where? Not on the seashore, on the sea. His ship was wrecked. Imagine, dear brethren, the condition of the sea, how tumultuous it will be. Entire ship is wrecked, but still is there living in the middle of the sea, a day and night. What Apostle Paul would have cried? Lord! Would have cried, beating his heart, always shouting, jumping, crying. That was the faith, dear brethren. This is how God's children should be. So many faithful Christians were killed and slaughtered in various ways. They were crucified upside down. They were chopped off. Their heads were beheaded. They were thrown to live animals. You see, wild animals. Their children were smashed in before in front of their eyes. They were burnt at stake, dear brethren. Many of the Christians sang wonderful songs during those times. Dear brethren, in all these things, they surrendered themselves to the Lord's will. You see, and how, in all these things, none of them prayed a selfish prayer, only for them, seeking for blessings, miracles, money, wealth. You see, what did Jesus say? Don't worry about all these things. What you should eat, what you should drink. Don't think much about it. All those things, your father knows that you should be having all those things. He will definitely give you. What did Jesus say? First seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything shall be given unto you. So this is the first thing God's children should be there. Matthew 6. Matthew 6, sister. Roshni, sister, can you read Matthew 6 chapter? Verse 31 to 33. Roshni sister, Matthew 6 chapter 31 to 33. Can you read?
Matthew 6 chapter.
Verses 31 to 33.
Okay, brother. Therefore, take no thoughts, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed?
This is the worldly thought now. This is what we think every day. Oh, what we shall eat, what will happen to our future, what we'll wear, where shall we eat, where shall we stay, which shall be our house? Huh? This is everybody's tension in this world. What is Jesus' reply? 32.
For after all these things to do, the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things.
See, all these things are sought by whom? Gentiles, unbelievers. It's the worldly people. After becoming Christian, if you seek the same thing, then what is the difference between us and unbelievers? No difference at all. Everything is the same. What did Jesus say? God knows that you are in need of all these things. So your needs shall be definitely be fulfilled by God. He is our Father. Imagine if a child is there in your house. You see, Lulia is there. Imagine if Lulia grows, comes to the age of 6 years, she'll start going to school. Then she'll be keep on worrying. Ayyo, tomorrow I should pay electricity bill. Ayyo, day after tomorrow I should pay rent. Ayyo, then I should pay school fees, van fees, take uniform. She'll be worry about all these things. She won't worry at all. Joyfully she will go to school, enjoy and come to the home. She won't worry about all these things. Why? Because she has faith that her father, her mother knows that she has need of all these things. So they will take care. So it is our responsibility. Just simply go and study and come. This should be our faith also. Our Father who is the creator of this world. You see, each and every stars, each and everything belongs to Him. He is the emperor. He is the owner of all these things. If He wants us to give anything, He can give like this. But He will give us only that which is necessary. Imagine, Lulia, our parents can give everything. But will they give? What is necessary? Only those things will be given to them. But they won't be having any deficiency. You see, they won't be having any wants. Their wants will be fulfilled as per the needs by their parents. Similarly, it is with us. Continue, sir. Verse 33. What did Jesus say?
But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
See? Our duty is to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If we follow these things automatically, no need to ask our God at all. Definitely, what you want to eat? What you want to wear? You see, where do you want to stay? Everything, your job, give everything. All your requirements, basic requirements, how we want to live in this world. Everything God will take care. No doubt about it at all. You see, and when we fall into temptation, we should think, God would never allow us to be tempted beyond our limit. As we are facing the temptation, He will definitely open us a way to escape from it. Read 1 Corinthians 10:13. Gopal brother, can you read 1 Corinthians 10:13?
There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it.
You see, He is not unfaithful to just pressure us with temptation which we can't bear. He is faithful. He will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able to bear. But as the temptations come, He opens the ways. Tells us, no, go, this is the way. You see, that is God's guidance. That is God's help. What did Jesus say? You see the sparrows of the air. They don't sow. They don't reap. You see, but yet God gives them the food at the right time. Are you not much worthy than the sparrows? Definitely, dear brethren, we are much more worthy than the sparrows. God will definitely help us. That faith God's children should have. Romy sister, read Matthew 6:26. Okay, register.
Okay. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feed them. Are not much better than they?
Are we not much better than they? What did Jesus say? Even the very hairs of a head are numbered. See, read Matthew 10:30. Amar brother, read this one also. Matthew 10:30.
Okay. But the very hairs of your head are all numbers.
See, even our hairs are numbered. Daily we comb, how much hair falls, no? Do we really worry that our hairs are falling? No. But yet, Jesus monitors all these things, means even small things which we don't care, which we don't worry, our God cares about it. He is monitoring each and everything. So we should have faith on God. That's the reason in Hebrews 13:5 it says, hey, let your speech be without covetousness. You see, always trying to squeeze, get. You see? Have faith on the Lord. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Jesus has told, no, I will never leave you. You see, I will be with you till the end of the world. Read. Ashish brother, read. Hebrews 13:5, brother.
Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee.
Okay. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Have faith on the Lord. You see, therefore, dear brother, and see the life of Jesus. How much things he suffered. You see, how did he become perfect? It is through sufferings only. Then, if Jesus only had sufferings, if he must have had sufferings, if sufferings were required in his life, what about us? Are sufferings not required in our life? It is required. It is a very must condition. Read Hebrews 2:10. Hebrews 2:10. Joel brother, can you read Hebrews 2:10?
For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings.
Perfect through suffering. Jesus was made perfect through sufferings. If he was made perfect only through sufferings, then what about us, dear friend? You see, we can't go to heaven on the bed of roses. Sufferings is a must for God's children. But in that one, we need to have faith that Lord will definitely help us. No need to worry at all. What did Apostle Paul say? If you live godly in Christ, you shall suffer persecution. If there are no persecutions in your life, then we need to put a big question mark saying, am I God's children? You see, sufferings on a part of a Christian is a sign that we are God's children. So this is about miracles. Next, prophecy. Prophecy means what? You see? Telling about our future. Oh, you are there. Tomorrow, such and such thing will happen in your life. Future, you will be like this one. All these things, no? You see, many people think that this is prophecy. Dear brother, if this is a prophecy, then what is the difference between the roadside people, the other religion people who tell prophecy about future, tomorrow? Future, forecast. astrology, astronomy. What is the difference between them and this prophecy? Only the words change, but everything is the same, no? Huh? Read the so many prophecies are there in the Bible. Did any of the prophet tell any particular thing about any individual? See in the Bible, everybody are prophesied about a nation, about a group, not about any individuals. Only about Jesus is mentioned. You see, but today everybody are behind this future forecast. You see, what did God say? He clearly condemned listening to the forecast and the future. You see, God did not allow the people of Israel to do this one. Instead of knowing these prophecies about our life, we should study so many prophecies in the Bible. Jeremiah prophecy is there, Isaiah is there, Ezekiel is there, Revelation is there. Full book of prophets only. Huh? When do we learn all these things? Moreover, what does the Bible say about a true prophecy? You see, the true prophecy is telling about Jesus, not telling about our own self. Let us read Revelation 19:10. Revelation 19:10. Roshni sister, can you read Revelation 19:10?
And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, See thou do it not, I am the the fellow servant and of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. You see? What is spirit of prophecy? Testimony about Jesus, not testimony about self. You see? Telling about Jesus. You know what is it? Actually, telling about the kingdom. You see? Telling about the kingdom. God has made a beautiful plan. He has told a prophecy of all human beings. Not for one day, not for 1 month or 1 year. He has told a prophecy for 1,000 years. Where is that prophecy spoken in any of the churches? None of these things are spoken at all. And moreover, even if they tell prophecy also, nothing is fulfilled these days. Only whatever they tell, only 20%, 30% is fulfilled. You see, so those are not the prophecies which are related in the Bible. Next, visions. You see, visions, dreams. Everybody thinks that God is speaking through us, visions, dreams and all. Huh? Why? Because they tell in Joel, the verse is given. When the Holy Spirit is poured, they will, see visions. They will see dreams. So let us read that verse also. Joel, 2nd chapter 28-29. Gopal brother, can you read Joel, 2nd chapter 28-29?
And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my spirit.
So everybody, based on this verse, it tells once the Holy Spirit comes, they will see dreams, prophecy, visions and all. But read the verse carefully. First, in verse 28, it says, it shall come to pass that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And that is the time when the spirit is poured upon all flesh, that everybody will prophesy, dream, and see vision. And it says, and also upon the servants and handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit. Now just observe this verse. In verse 28, it says, I'll pour out my spirit upon all. But verse 29, it says, I'll pour out my spirit upon the handmaidens and servants. If the Holy Spirit is poured upon everybody, then why I can pour on servants and handmaids? Actually, this verse is upside down. That means, now in the gospel age, God is giving his Holy Spirit, pouring his Holy Spirit only upon his servants, the church class, not upon everybody, but in the kingdom. When everybody will come to knowledge of Christ, then the Holy Spirit will be poured upon everybody. Then they will see and understand the visions and the prophecies in the Bible. Now, is this application of the verse upside down correct? Yes, this is correct, because we have a proof for it in the Old Testament. See, in the book of Judges, 6th chapter, 37 to 40, Gideon asked for a sign from the Lord. The Lord tells, okay, you ask whatever you want. He tells, Lord, I'll keep wool in the night. So morning, only that wool has to be covered with dew. Lord says, okay, your wish is granted. So he sleeps and wakes up in the morning and sees that his wool is completely covered with dew. Then Gideon asks, Lord, I'll ask one more request. Please don't feel bad. Tell, okay, you tell me what you want to do. Lord, tomorrow I'll keep the same, you see, wool. But today, the wool should be dry, but all the land should be totally wet with dew. The same thing happens. This is a sign of the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, dew means Holy Spirit. Psalm 133:3. Okay? So, snow, dew, all these things represent the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is given only on the wool, the servant class, the church class. But in the kingdom, when the church won't be there, you see, only the ground will be there. The ground, the people, the world, they will be anointed with the Holy Spirit. Let us read this verse in Judges 6 chapter 37 to 40. Joel, brother, can you read Judges 6 chapter 37 to 40?
Okay, brother. Okay. Behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for it rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wring the dew out of the fleece a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger he hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on the ground, all the ground.
So this is the sign of anointing of God's Holy Spirit. Now it is given only to the church. In the 1,000 years, it will be given to the whole world. Then, whatever is written in the Bible, they will see literally in front of their eyes as visions and dreams being fulfilled. Hence, dear brethren, all the miracles, all the prophecies, all the visions and dreams and all the tongues and miracles, what is happening today? It is completely the counterfeit work of the devil, because he knows that we are living in the very last days, and Jesus is coming and to destroy his kingdom, to establish his kingdom. And this time, the Bible says, the Satan will do duplicate miracles. Read Matthew 12:26. Roshni sister, can you read Matthew 12:26?
And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand?
See, if Satan is dividing against, if Satan is casting out Satan, then it is a clear sign that his kingdom is divided. Then his kingdom is not standing. We are living in a days where Jesus is establishing his kingdom on this earth by smiting all these worldly empires. About this, we will read very clearly in the coming classes. So this is a clear sign that it is a Satan who is doing all these miracles. Apostle Paul also clearly warns that in the last days, you see, these counterfeit miracles will be done by the devil to deceive God's children. Let us read 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter 8 to 12. Muna sister, can you read 2 Thessalonians, 2nd chapter, verses 8 to 12?
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan.
All power. Observe it clearly. Concentrate, everybody. See, who's coming? Jesus' coming is when? After the working of Satan with all power. Continue, sir.
And sign and lying wonders.
See, signs and lying wonders.
And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
See, it is Satan who is doing it with all power. Signs and lying wonders, sir, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness. To whom? To whom does it happen? It happens to the people who don't love the truth. Who don't want to. They say, listen more about God's world. Only to them all these things will happen. You see, somebody coming and speaking. You see, seeing visions. You see, dreams. This will happen only to the devil's children. Not God's children at all. That's clearly given. Who are there? These are the people who don't have heart to listen God's words. Who don't want the truth. Who want to believe the lie. If you want to believe the lie, God permits them to believe a lie. These are their brethren. So now what all things are happening, we should be very careful. What did Jesus say? You see, what's the work of the Holy Spirit? John 16:13, brother. Amar brother or Roman sister, can you read John 16:13? What is the work of the Holy Spirit? First work of the Holy Spirit.
And howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth.
This is the first work of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, it will guide you into all truth. Not that it will grow miracles, you see, healings. No wonder, sir. It will guide you into all truth. Is these things are there? Those who believe that, claim that all these things, miracles are done by God, is the truth is there with them? Do they believe that the soul die? Do they believe that the hell is a place of, a grave? No. Do they believe that God is only one? No. You see, so many false doctrines, these things has to be carefully understood. They are conducting the Lord's memorial daily, weekly, monthly. Is this God's will? That's God's Holy Spirit. You see? So therefore, the Bible clearly says, those who don't follow as per the Bible, it is a clear sign that there is no Holy Spirit in them at all. Isaiah 8:20. Gopal brother, can you read?
To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them.
If they don't speak according to the Bible, it means that there is no Holy Spirit in them at all. So we should be very careful. So last one point is there. We will read it and finish it off. Where is that given? It is given in Mark 16 chapter 15 to 18. Joel brother, can you read? Mark 16 chapter verses 15 to 18. Slowly, one by one, we'll see and go.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He had believed and his baptized shall be saved, but he that believe believeth not shall be damned, and this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take of serpents, and if they drink any deadly things, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover.
See, if they drink deadly thing, nothing will happen. You see, if they take serpents, nothing will happen to them. You see, nothing will hurt them, it seems. If they lay their hands on the sick, immediately it will be healed, it seems. Okay, pa. Let us take this thing like that only. Okay, now you are all Christians, no? Everybody. Ashish brother, Gopal brother, Joel, Munna sister, Romy sister, Amar brother, Roshni, Kamal. Everybody are Christians, no? Yes or no?
Yes, brother.
Yes.
Yes, brother.
Oh, only yes. Four. Okay. Rest of them are Christians. Okay. No problem. Okay. Now, today, we'll test and see whether you are Christians or not. What you do, you take one poison. Drink it. Okay, brother? Drink it and see what will happen. Let us see. If you are a Christian, you will be saved. You won't die. Nothing will happen. That's what the Bible says. Okay. But if you die, it is a clear proof that you don't have Holy Spirit, you are not a Christian. Shall we do the test? Nobody wants to reply. Yeah. Shall we do this test or not? Okay. Is it correct to do this test? Tell me, is it correct to test the Lord?
No, brother.
No. Jesus never tested God. This is the temptation, exactly what the devil gave to Jesus. What did he say? You fall from the temple, angels will come and hold you. Then everybody will see that you are God's child and everybody will believe you. Did Jesus jump from the temple? What did he say? You shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Matthew 4:7. Ashish for the read. Okay, go for the read.
Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Taking serpent or drinking poison. It is faith on God. It is not faith. It is tempting God. It is testing God. If you tempt and test God, all these things won't happen. It won't be fulfilled. You see, hence, this is not a scriptural meaning at all. And moreover, what does he say? If you lay your hand on the sick, then all diseases will be healed. Then why Christians have built a hospital? You see, all the big hospitals are built by Christians only. Why did they build it? Instead of building hospitals, they can simply sit on the road near the hospital and tell everybody, come, I lay my hand on you, you will be healed. You can do, no? Why are they building hospitals? See, in the world, whole world, majority of the great hospitals are Christians only. Huh? Dear brethren, this is unscriptural. If you read in the Bible, Mark 16:9-20, actually it is not in the original Bible at all. Is there any footnote given, brother? Gopal brother, any footnote is given in your Nepali Bible?
Wait, brother, let me check.
Is it given?
No, brother.
Okay. In NIV, it is there. I given the book NIV, no, brother? See, it is there.
Yes, brother.
Read it and put it in a group. Okay?
Okay, brother.
This scripture, Mark 16:9-20, is not in the original Bible at all. It is an added verse. Hence, dear brethren, the only sign which God has given us, and Jesus himself said, it will be the sign of Jonah. You see, our faith should be on the word of God than all these outward demonstrations. You see, why? Because scriptures is sufficient for us to make our calling election sure. Last, this verse we'll read. Roshni sister, please read 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Second Timothy, 3rd chapter, 16 and 17.
All the scripture is given by inspiration of God and is the profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished up to all good works.
See, that the man of God, the word of God is given, why? That the man of God may be perfect. If you want to become perfect, only Bible is sufficient. Thoroughly furnished to all good works. Definitely, dear brethren. So, let us have faith on the Lord, you see, and trust on the Lord that He will definitely do us good. Okay? So, please read the notes. I'll be sending the YouTube link also. Any doubts, any questions, anybody has asked?